Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares amazing stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and ways to go within to find your authentic self. I am most delighted today to welcome author Greg Bogart to discuss his newest book, Dream Work and Self-Healing. Greg is a psychotherapist in private practice in the San Francisco Bay Area and a lecturer in the Department of Psychology at Sonoma State University in California. Hello, Greg, and thank you for joining us on the show today.
Hello, Cheryl. Thank you very much.
Greg, you know, as listeners of Healing From Within have come to expect, they are well aware my guests and I seek to understand human and divine nature, energy and life, and death as a duality interconnected to life and the myriads of possibilities for mastering our emotions and also for self-investigation so we may learn more about ourselves, how to create and manifest our best life and improve our world communities. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Greg will help us explore the work of Freud and Jung and show us how analytic work must balance the dream with transference. We will discuss how Jungian dream work can be applied effectively in brief-term and long-term therapy, couples counseling, group process work, and as a catalyst for personal transformation. Properly understood, dreams do enhance the dialogue between the therapist and patient about specific problems in living and also adds to the growth of the patient's self-understanding. We will see our dreams reveal both the source of our wounding and paths to healing. Greg, I often like to ask my guests to take a moment to think back to their childhood and a memory or remembrance of a person or event that was important to them, because I feel we come into this world with a dream or a vision in our heart and essence, and the child we are often reflects the values, interests, and work we pursue later on in life. So take a moment and just give out whatever comes to mind.
Well, Cheryl, I'll tell you the first dream that I remembered as a child. My first remembered dream was of an infinite ocean, water, expansive water, and then docks in a rectangular shape on the surface of the water. And from inside the center of this, these docks, in the deep ocean, a missile, an explosion of light in the deep ocean up into the sky, an eruption of light. And to me, that dream has so much meaning, because the dreams of water connect us to the experience of the unconscious, something deeper than our individual biographies. And something from the very depths erupts into the light, and there's an ascensional movement. And that was very important for me, because I became very involved with yoga in my teens, in my adolescence, especially the yoga involving Kundalini energy. And I became influenced by a teacher from India named Muktananda. And one of my other recent books, called In the Company of Sages, recounts the story of my connection with this teacher, who had this capacity to awaken an energy in us, an evolutionary energy. And so the dynamic results of that transmission have been resonating in me since my 16th year.
And when I was visualizing what you were saying, I saw it as an eruption from within your heart energy to pursue wisdom, to pursue the ways of the world and beyond the world, and to know the truth about yourself and life. And there are many of us today trying to delve into the deeper part of the mysteries of the world so we can help each other live better. Use that information. We're living in an age of technology and so much information and so many possibilities for change to improve the conditions for so many people. So I saw it. I saw the light as the light of your spirit and love of life and knowledge. So
well, also, Cheryl, the dream shows a representation of a path merging depth psychology with yoga and its evolutionary practices. And that's kind of the track I've followed in my life, which is listening to what comes from below, from the unconscious, in the form of dream images, and also receptive to grace, receptive to what comes from above, the higher ascensional capacities and possibilities of spiritual practice and meditation.
Yes. Universal energy and the knowledge that every thought and action that we do here as human beings is received in that dimension of universal energy and given back. And you know, it's really funny, when my spiritual development reemerged, it was there as a child also, but when it reemerged 20 years ago, I was told that I would take yoga, and I said, oh, well, I don't know how that's going to happen. I wasn't very athletic or inclined along that way. And a week later, my hairdresser said to me, I have a visitor's pass. Would you like to go with me to the Sky Gym? And because I had been told that I would be doing that, I paid attention. And I began a process of learning about the chakras and the energy points, about energy and about who we are as energy beings having a physical life. So I started later than you, but I was guided to do that in order to open up this illumination or awakening process so the light from within could come out. Let's go on to something else. Tell us something about typical dreams and the function they have in our lives.
Very typical dream image is of the family home. Dreaming I'm back at mom and dad's place. That is very common because the childhood home forms an inner structure. So the representation in dreams of a home, a house, signifies the emotional atmosphere of that home, that family, and all the things that happened there. So that's one very characteristic dream image. Also, animal symbols in dreams are fascinating and convey immense wisdom. And I'll just tell you one brief story. There's so many stories about animals in dream work and self-healing. But somebody in a group dreamed about a walrus. And she says, I have no idea what that means. And somebody in the group said, well, I just spent 6 months in Alaska, and I know a lot about walruses. And she said, walruses are very rough during sex. They actually gore each other in the act. And the woman who had the dream said, wow, that's interesting, because I've been dealing with an issue about sexual trauma in my life.
Wow. So it wasn't a coincidence. That
she started
had
to have a bit of an emotional reaction and a catharsis about it, and it was stirred up about it. And then at that moment, someone in the group started singing the chorus to the Beatles song, I Am the Walrus, where the words are, I am the Eggman, we are the Eggmen, I am the Walrus, cuckoo, ca-choo. And she said, the dreamer said, oh my gosh, that's the song I was listening to the first time I had sex with somebody. I remember how good my body felt, how free I felt. So the same dream walrus that connected her to an experience of trauma and discomfort connected her also to an experience of innocence and freedom.
Right. Trying to bring back a balance, because I think dreams have a way of making us see something we might be traumatized by or frightened by, and also something we might be thrilled or find so joyful. So they help us to realize the balance and the fact that there's really nothing so much that is so frightening that we can't conquer or make better. Perhaps it's a way of doing that. Now, let me just ask something. You know, I dream a lot, but I don't dream about my parents' house or my childhood very much. Could that be because I had a fairly good childhood?
Well, I'm not trying to say everybody has that kind of dream image. You just asked what is one characteristic dream image. But dreams are infinite in their symbolism, in their imagery. And they often stir intense emotions of various kinds. They help us integrate different feelings, things that have been buried, grief, anger, tremendous bliss and joy that has been unclaimed and unacknowledged. So,
all right, let's go on to a different kind of dreams. I always thought dreams were the way to work through the challenges or miscommunications of the day. But I came to know another kind of dream. It was about 20 years ago. I was very sick with the flu, and while I was in between sleep and just feeling miserable, I felt an energy or shadow on my right side, and I knew it was my grandfather, who had been in spirit for about 30 years. And he said to me, "You have to write something for your father." And I woke up and I was confused, because I hadn't had a dream about my grandfather before, nor was I particularly thinking of him on that day. And the next day my mom called and said my dad had passed. And without putting all the pieces of the puzzle together, I simply wrote my dad's eulogy. And it was years later, in reading a book by an international medium, that he discussed a spiritual visitation as being different than a dream. And I realized that's what I had, a connection to an energy force of intelligence that was there to teach me something, to help me through a difficult time. And what would you think of that kind of dream experience?
Well, dreams anticipate what's emergent. They also define tasks. So the dream was telling you you're going to write something about your dad. That's important. And it also anticipated what was impending. I think in dreams, the veil between this world and the other side may be less defined, may be less rigidly separated. So I think it's just a beautiful experience that you had.
Well, yeah, that experience actually stayed with me, and it changed many of my belief systems, because you could say I was a skeptic. I had not much interest in an afterlife or psychic development or energy healing, and I went on to meet many leaders in the world and fields about all this and to develop my own interests and skills. So, yeah, it was a beginning. It was at the right time. It hadn't happened earlier because I had other duties to fulfill or work to take care of before I could get to that point. Now, I'm very interested in Jungian dream work, and I'm very excited when I have somebody who wishes to talk about him, because he was a true spiritual leader in the psychology field. He wanted to merge the best of all worlds and energies and really help his people move past just their traumas to get into creating a new reality for themselves. So tell us something about therapeutic dream work, Jungian dream work, and perhaps a case study that you found engaging.
Well, you discerned that dreams lead us forward. They may take us back to earlier stages of development where we have some unresolved issues we need to look at, and they commonly do that. But they also anticipate the wholeness that can be. And So they reveal images of who we can become. They show us images of individuation, what our potentials are, who we can grow into, and then motivate us to strive in that direction. Of course, dreams also show us the shadow. They can have scary imagery and feelings and narratives, and a lot of dreams have that quality. And that helps us get in touch with fears, with unacknowledged parts of the self. And so when you ask about therapeutic dream work, it specifically refers to, in my work, how I use dreams to identify developmental traumas from the past and current tasks that one is asked to grapple with. And they have an emotionally healing effect. And the book Dreamwork and Self-Healing is full of dozens of examples of people who got an emotional shift through confronting the reality or the messages of dreams. And what makes Jungian dream work different from some other kinds, such as Freudian dream work, is the emphasis on what are called archetypes, which are patterns within the unconscious that are universal. So you see themes of birth and death, male and female, old and young, childhood and old age. You see the opposites, the polarities of personality vividly portrayed. You see the theme of the quest, the journey, initiation, things of this kind, in particular mythical creatures and situations, rites of passage. And so the Jungian framework broadens or deepens the meaning of dreams by referring them to mythology, to or universal stories or characters, such as the wounded healer. And that's when you ask about a common theme earlier in dreams and therapeutic dream work, one of the keys is to find the wounded image in the dream, to find the image of hurt, the image of suffering, because dreams will portray to ourselves ways that we're struggling, things that are challenging to us, so we can feel it, so we can compassionately embrace what has caused us some alienation or depression. And that's what's therapeutic, is to touch it, to touch those feelings, to touch what has wounded us. So to find the wounded healer in a dream is to be healed.
Absolutely. And you know, well, I think Jung also believed, as we were talking about before, that dreams convey the transformative wisdom of the unconscious, which ultimately leads us forward in our individualization and the process of unfolding our uniqueness and becoming who we are capable of being. So dreams and his work was very impressive to me because he also had a near-death experience. I've interviewed many people who have had those experiences and have returned after almost being gone or dead with heightened intuitive abilities and gifts. And he had his own experience. And you know what he wrote about that? When he was asked what happens after death, he wrote, "What happens after death is so unspeakably glorious that our imagination and feelings do not suffice to form even an appropriate conception of it." So, because of all his experiences and in his wisdom, he knew that to help a human being is to help them become more of who they already are, this divine person and magnificent light that they were born to be, and to deal with the traumas and the hurts and the wounds, but not to dwell on that, to go more forward into to becoming who they could be. And that's what I like so much about his philosophy and his therapy. And you discussed the core Jungian constructs and the archetypes. But let's get on back to your book, The Company of Sages, which I enjoyed so much. I see, like you, like me, You have examined practices in Hindu and Tibetan Buddhist yoga, Sufism, and Jewish and Christian mysticism, and a study of the guru-student relationship. What are several of your conclusions about the search for self-actualization, finding a teacher, understanding the progress of men, perhaps through religious systems or through personal experiences? That's a few questions, I guess, in one.
Sure.
But anyway, you wish to think about that.
The reason I wrote the book In the Company of Sages is to describe and celebrate the experience of having a spiritual guide, and that it's a very important experience to find someone who is a little farther ahead on the path to guide us into deeper realms of spiritual consciousness and spiritual practice. So it describes the story of my search for a teacher and the process that you go through in trying to sort out who is a teacher that resonates with me and feels impactful to me, and the process of forming a connection to a teacher, which takes some bravery, you know, to put yourself in the sight of a teacher.
Absolutely, yeah.
Make the effort to be in the company of a teacher, and how the process leads to a deepening commitment to one's own meditation, one's own yoga, one's own self-transformation. And so the relationship is hopefully one that inspires us to transform, to make effort to do spiritual practice. Now, the relationship is one that often involves tests and challenges. It's not always easy. We may be uncomfortable in certain respects in connection with a teacher. We may be given certain tasks to do that are not.
Well, that's okay, because all growth comes from getting out of our comfort zone and moving beyond it. So it's okay to be in a spot where you're challenged and where perhaps something feels very, very new, but to continue to approach it with an open mind, so you don't, you know, go backwards. Now, you mentioned the 9 stages of the spiritual seeker's journey and the ultimate benefits for the soul that goes along this path to discover a greater bit about themselves. So mention anything you want about the 9 stages of the spiritual seekers.
And say that in entering into this relationship, there are different levels of commitment that one may have. A spiritual teacher could just be someone who teaches us a few yoga postures or breathing practices or how to meditate. They might be someone just a little farther ahead than ourselves. Or it might be someone more advanced, someone who evokes in us a deeper devotion, a deeper veneration, a deeper awe in their company. So I look at different facets of this student-teacher relationship in mysticism, on the spiritual path, and how it has certain characteristics in common with apprenticeship, but is different in certain regards, but also how the relationship changes over time. What I think is unusual about my book, I mean, there's a lot of books about gurus and sages, I recognize that. What I think is different about my book is it looks at the emotional complexities of the relationship, of the spiritual mentoring and apprenticing path, and how we mature in the process so that eventually we begin to have our own awakening, our own realizations, our own path becomes clear. And there may be stages when we separate, we individuate, we go on our own, we move away from a teacher or a teaching that has been important to us. Maybe we keep it with us as a part of us. But we find new teachers and we find wisdom from inside, for example, through the guidance of dreams. So I look at how dreams are a very important teacher, how they may actually be a conduit for transmission of a deeper knowledge, a deeper wisdom.
And the word you just used comes up very often, maturity. And that's why I think we're here to have a human life. for the soul to refine and mature, and with wisdom to know all things are possible, and we're part of a collective wisdom, ancient and unfolding right now. And I thought that was beautiful that you just used that word. So what do you want readers to take away with them after reading Dream Work and Self-Healing?
Well, what I want them to take away from both of these books is the idea the teacher is within, the teacher is with you. And the guidance of dreams is invaluable in showing the way to wholeness. And also, there are times when we need an external teacher. And these days, there's so much cynicism about spiritual teachers and gurus, because there are those who have abused their position and the respect and devotion of others to misbehave, so that there's a certain mistrust of the whole process.
Well, I think we want to have trust that we will be guided to have the experiences we need for our personal growth. There's nothing that's a failure in life. So even if you're with a teacher who doesn't resonate deeply enough for you, you will still have an experience, and we can see the positive in everything that's happening to us if we think in terms of not good or bad, just experience for our own development. So I want to thank you, Greg Bolgorat, author of Dream Work and Self-Healing and other books, and for a most engaging and illuminating view of dreams as an inspirational approach to delve within the subconscious and hidden levels of our essence, our experiences, traumas, and challenges, so we can move beyond restrictions and fears to allow for our full human potential to emerge. To read more and to purchase this book, go to Greg, that's G-R-E-G, Bolgorat.net.
And also www.dawnmountain.com.
Thank you.
In
summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Greg has shared how dream analysis is a valuable tool for unlocking the mysteries and desires of the human heart and mind to reveal the wounding and also the many paths to wholeness, unity, and a greater love of ourselves and life. Greg wrote, "The spontaneity of dreams lights up something unexpected inside us. Dreams are a helpful and creative evolutionary force. Dreams are an ever-expanding spiral, an axis of new consciousness. No matter what the nature of our particular emotional or spiritual malaise, dreams can guide us, expand our perceptions, excite our sense of possibilities. Greg and I would invite you on your journey of self-investigation and the mastering of your emotions for health and progress to be a dream keeper. And when you go to sleep each night, ask for a dream to clarify or validate your hopes and goals. Be ever eager to explore your mind and heart through this medium. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to read about and listen to leaders in the field of science, psychology, metaphysics, education, the arts, and music. Offer ways to fulfill your life experience with new ideas and hopes for healing and expanding your awareness of self. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.